Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Hi, 6:11 in the morning. Morning. Hi, Dave. Hi, Sambert.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Justin,
good morning as always.
Good morning.
Boy, busy Friday. Lou's coming up here in just a couple of minutes. And if you have a call that you'd like to make to Lou and you don't have a cell phone, you should call the show now because it's time for Lou's first call. We'll put you on hold for a few minutes. And then we'll get to you and you can ask your questions about your house or your condo or your townhouse. Dave, you have a question?
I have a question for Lou this morning. Yes.
Ooh, I hope it's a buckthorn.
You look like you're ready to jump out of your skin. You're excited about this question.
I didn't sleep.
You're just giddy with excitement.
Yes.
Is that the issue? Is something in the house?
No, it's got nothing to do with not sleeping.
Well, it's a fair question.
Yeah, it is.
Donald Trump's calling. No surprise there. Yesterday, the director of national intelligence found out that Vladimir Putin's been invited to the White House when Andrea Mitchell told him that in front of a crowd at a conference in Colorado. Yep. Bears camp is it officially open?
Well, today's the first practice. It's not open to the public today.
Okay. Ferraris are in the parking lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Tomorrow,
that should be how all camps open. Yeah.
Tomorrow's the first public practice.
All right, Dan Hampton. Have you heard of Hamp? He'll be on the show later.
Hall of Famer. Awesome.
Yeah. Is he going to wear his... He should wear his jersey. He should wear the outfit that he wore in the 85 season with the collar. You know, he had the awesome, like, kind of neck collar.
The one
that he probably looks at in pictures and says, I'll never wear again.
I wish he would wear that for broadcast.
Steve Stone's on later. He's a legendary pitcher and a legendary broadcaster, and he'll talk about the White Sox. It's the first time Stoney's been on in a while, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Well, you were off, that's why.
Yeah, he was on last Friday.
Do you guys like that new schedule where every Thursday and Friday I'm gone for a while?
Yeah.
We love it.
Jeremy Roenick at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
We got some Hawks stuff to discuss, and convention is next weekend. And Roenick's got some other things to talk about as well. And the legendary composer, writer, and soon-to-be husband of American Idol.
Catherine McPhee.
Winner. Wasn't she a winner?
Yeah.
Catherine McPhee.
Or, I don't know if she won it. She might have won
America's Heart.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, she's so cute.
Well, she's not on with us. David Foster is the fiancé.
Yeah. I love two of his daughters. They have a reality show.
She did not win,
Barely
by the
Famous,
way.
Sarah and Aaron. They're hilarious.
You know, it's called Barely Famous?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a funny concept.
It's very funny.
You know, they say Barry Manilow writes the songs. I think David Foster writes the songs.
He wrote most of them.
He wrote a lot of songs.
Well, a lot of people don't know this. 8 out of 10 songs were written by David Foster.
What an amazing show. It's the Legends Tour today.
And it's a lot. Let's get to the top 6 at 6 right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Don't keep.
Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, 11 people killed last night when a duck boat, an amphibious land or water boat, overturned on a lake near the city of Branson. Big thunderstorms rolling through the area. We had a tornado outbreak in Iowa. Lots of crazy weather that so far we've kind of skirted, right? I mean, did you guys get anything other than rain?
We had a 10-minute blast up by us.
But it got rained on the golf course yesterday, but it was only 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, we didn't even get a heavy rain. We got a few sprinkles.
Got very lucky.
Did you see the video, the Marshalltown, Iowa tornado?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, two of them. Two tornadoes at once in the video I saw.
Hey, Steve, would that be the same weather pattern that's moving east towards us today?
It is. It's going to go south and west today. So, like,
that's northern, a fork, right? Right in the middle?
Northern and central Indiana. Yeah, exactly. So,
I just hope it stays away because I have to go to Six Flags today with the kids and Pat. So,
well, I tell you, when the wind's up at Six Flags, those roller coasters get super exciting.
Yeah.
But that duck boat, I got to drive one of those in fifth grade at Wisconsin Dells.
You drove it?
Oh, yeah. They were like, does anyone want to drive? And then I thought.
So they said, let's find a kid?
Yeah. So they let me do it. But then I saw this happen. I thought, kids should not be driving those.
Yeah, the thing in Branson is going to be, we're going to be talking about that for a few days. There's video now from people who are on one of the boats that survived. And really, when you see the video, you're like, what were any of these boats doing out on the water at all?
Very bizarre. Very bizarre. Pause now for a technical adjustment. Does everybody sound okay in their headphones this morning? I sound very overmodulated, to use a technical term that we use around here. You guys are all good?
You sound great in my ears.
You sound
fine.
You sound good to me.
Okay. Test one, two, test.
All right, if everybody's good, we move on.
Item number two.
The President of the United States has invited the President of Russia to the White House for a personal visit. I don't know what else you need to know. All parties involved, including the president, now seem to say that Russia absolutely messed with our election in 2016. We know for a fact that Vladimir Putin is a killer. We know for a fact that his goal is to reestablish the USSR and rebuild and retake lands that he feels are the property of Russia that were taken away when the Soviet Union was broken up. He's got a lot of dreams. He's got a lot of goals. When he gets up in the morning, he doesn't think, what can I do for America? He thinks, what can I do to America? And that's not the kind of guy you would invite inside your house. The director of national intelligence is Dan Coats. The DNI is the guy that oversees our 16 to 17 other agencies, depending how you score things at home. He found out that Vladimir Putin was invited when he was sitting down with Andrea Mitchell from NBC at a security conference. That's right, a security conference. In Colorado yesterday. We'll play the sound for you coming up. But the director of national intelligence also said he doesn't know what the president discussed with Vladimir Putin in that two-hour meeting.
That's really hard to believe. That's hard to believe that we're in a position where we're trying to parse what the president said behind closed doors. I understand the president has executive privilege to do that, but in this case, with everything that's swirling around, no American diplomat, no American intelligence officers, no American assistants are in that meeting, so now we just don't know.
Well, I tried to come up with something analogous to this. There really isn't anything because arguably the most dangerous person in the world has been invited to the White House, and the guy in charge of the departments to keep an eye on the most dangerous person in the world wasn't told he was invited to the White House. You can't make this stuff up. Here's the moment as it happened.
I do want to say we have some breaking news. The White House has announced on Twitter that Vladimir Putin is coming to the White House in the fall.
Say that again.
You
so funny.
Vladimir Putin coming.
Did I hear you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be special.
I mean, you know, I feel for the guy because he literally is the guy in charge of security who hasn't been told that Vladimir Putin's been invited. It can't work that way. And it goes to the idea that in a country of 330 million people, one guy really wants to be in charge of everything. And if he gets to you, he'll tell you what he's up to.
You know, when you go to a silent auction or you go to a fundraiser and you can win a Dan Hampton jersey or possibly bid on a hotel stay, doesn't it kind of feel that's what happened with Vladimir Putin in the election? He's like, if you buy into this election, if you give me president, you will get this and you'll get the opportunity to come to the beautiful White House to stay a night.
Like, well, imagine the prizes. I wonder if he puts his own bugs in when he comes in. Do you think he comes in with his own listening devices and installs them?
You think they'll let him sit at the Oval Office desk?
Oh, no question. Yeah, he's in charge. Next, Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General, warned of a spreading threat to the U.S. Seems as if this is related to the previous story. The Russian effort to influence the 2016 election is just one tree in a growing forest. That's the head of the Justice Department. Those are the people that keep us safe. The DNI is the boss of all security. The Justice Department are the ones that keep us safe here. They got a lot of work to do because the guy in charge is dangerous. Next. The outbreak of an intestinal illness linked to McDonald's salad has made 163 people sick in 10 states. Dave, I told you, man, that kale's going to kill you. I've told you that time and time again.
I'm starting to believe you.
Yeah. Illinois, Iowa residents representing the highest totals among those who have gotten sick. You are therefore warned. Consider your salad. Consider yourself. CYS.
You know, all I've eaten the last three nights is salad.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm worried.
Centers for Disease Control on line one for you.
It starts, Dave, by the way, with a little rumbling right in the lower part of your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And then it moves slowly
it's not
down.
Good.
Is that what you
not
want
good.
To ask Lou about?
It's not good.
Yes, that's my question for Lou.
I certainly hope not. Next! UIC approved a merger with John Marshall Law School. How about that? Chicago's first public law school is therefore created, which is great because it'd be cool if I was a lawyer. Next! Oh, apparently I don't have the grades or the experience. And the Brady Bunch house is up for sale. You can buy it for $1.9 million. It initially sold for $61,000 in 1973. Alice, Tiger, and Sam sold separately. And that's your top six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Hi, Lou.
You know, when we do lose first call, you have to try not to hang up on the first caller.
We've got some interesting technical things here, Lou. The button that says hang up on all callers is one I probably shouldn't hit, right?
Right. The one that says don't push this button.
Yeah, but I'm a curious fella. You know that about
I
me.
I wonder what this does.
This probably isn't good. All the lights went off,
you would not
the
have
pretty
been,
ones.
Yeah, you would have not been the right person to be on Jurassic Park.
That's exactly right. Can you imagine the trouble I would have had?
What's behind this fence?
Can we let all the dinosaurs out? Juan is on the phone, and Juan has a question. Go ahead, Juan. What do you have for Lou? Standing by for Juan.
Juan, you there?
Juan. Hello, Juan? Juan. Wait, hold on, Juan. Don't hang up. How about there that, Juan? Are you with me now?
Yes, sir.
There you are. Sorry, Juan. That also was my fault. Let's keep track.
Okay. Let's not.
Yeah, it's true. The number might get too big. All right, Juan, what's your question?
All right, so my house, I guess, was built like early 1900s, and the whole HVAC system, I don't know when it was installed, it's the return air ducts are built into the frame of the house.
Okay.
And so I'm not trying to tear down the whole wall because it's a two-floor apartment building.
Right.
And so I was thinking in my mind if there was a way to put in, like, instead of ducts, push in maybe some 4-inch PVC through the wall.
Sounds like you're doing too much work, Juan.
That would be too much work, you think?
Well, I
guess I'm trying to get rid of that because there's too much dust and, you know,
it builds
up in there.
Right.
It's just going around and around.
All right, Dr. Lou, what do you got?
Okay, so the issue is with the return air, it's you know, when it comes to HVAC, it's all about air movement. And if you take it down to a series of PVC pipes, for instance, you're reducing the airflow and you're causing the system, you're creating like a back pressure coming in. And so
you don't want that.
The larger volume of air and a return air that you can get, the better. Now, in those areas where you have those walls, I mean, if you're trying to reduce the dust, you could put ductwork in there, which would facilitate you opening up the wall. But then there is a narrow rectangular ductwork framework that you can buy that you can place inside there and drywall over the top of it. It'll fit exactly inside the stud space. And then it allows you the ability to come back and clean those ducts, 4 or 5 years from now. And it will reduce the amount of dust in the home by not having it just in the wall space, but actually in metal ductwork that returns back to the
furnace. This sounds like a master class to me. This sounds fairly complicated.
Well, I mean, it's not a... Yeah, this would not be a DIY thing. I mean, it's not that it's difficult. You just got to understand the physics and the balancing and the pressure.
Well, Juan's a smart guy.
Oh, he's very smart.
He's a very smart guy. I'll tell you how smart Juan is. He just won himself one of these fancy schmancy thermostat situations. An April Air Wi-Fi thermostat allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone from American Weathermakers, the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. How often should you have your ducts clean? And I mean your D-U-C-T-S.
I've always recommended sort of a 5 to 7 year proposition. It really it depends on where you live and if you're noticing a lot of dust in the home, if you're someone that suffers from allergy.
I'm cleaning them every 2 hours. Does that seem like a lot?
It might be a little much, but the air must be sparkly in your home.
It really is. Dave, your question for Lou.
Yes, it's a two-part question, Mr. Manfredini.
I don't know that he's taking follow-ups. Lou, are you going to take follow up?
Well, it's kind of related. We have a hibiscus plant in the front of our house on the corner of our driveway. Yeah. You guys have seen it.
Yeah, it's really nice.
So my wife noticed yesterday that there are beetles eating the hibiscus plant.
Oh, yeah.
There's only a couple of beetles left. I don't know which one should be out there.
I'm not sure whether it's Paul or Ringo. And the second part is you had recommended to us seven as a product to get rid of the whatever's eating the hostas.
Right.
I think I used that last year. It was pretty effective. This year, they've been fine up until, like, the past week. All of a sudden, I'm starting to see those little holes. Is it too late in the summer to use the seven?
God, let it be no. Please let the answer be no. Please let it be okay.
It's not too late, but you won't recover what they've already eaten, but you will slow it down. So there's three different products you can try. There is seven.
Mm-hmm.
There's another product called eight, which is by Bonide.
Is there one called 9, 10, and 11?
No, well, and actually, when I asked the person that works for the Bonide company, go, why do you call it eight? And they're like, well, it's like Spinal Tap, because it's one better than seven.
Oh,
so they were just doing a little play on the words.
Okay.
But there's also one of my favorite things
for bugs
wonder
why
that's
I count
organic,
these shows.
Dave, which kind of plays into, you know, not using a lot of chemicals. Both seven and eight are chemical-based. This is organic, and it is my favorite one to use. It's called Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew.
You've talked about that before.
Arg. Yeah. And then you go, arg. So when you spray it, you go, arg, and then the bugs go away.
Why isn't there a product called arg? That would be a great name for a product like
maybe
this.
Maybe the same people can come up with that.
That'd be
why do you call it arg? Well, it's better than... So it is a pump spray that you can buy and do it on the hibiscus, do it on your hostas as well. I've been using it all summer long because the plants are mature now, the hostas. Now, for a lot of people, you're going to have a big problem with bugs. They're coming at it. And so, you know, it's nice to stay ahead of it, obviously, because it doesn't look very nice. But if you spray it now, you'll eliminate them from eating them more.
If our hostas haven't been eaten yet, should we put them on there?
Yeah, for sure.
Are you writing the name down, Dave, for us?
Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. It sounds like a micro brew.
It kind of does.
Don't drink it.
Where bugs would have tiny
but
beers.
You can, for all our listeners, you can use that not only on ornamental plants, but you can use it on fruits and vegetables, too. So it is safe to use on
Best to your hostas and your hibiscus and Juan's cold air return and all the great news we've had this morning.
That's good news.
I hope you have a nice weekend. Are you on the radio tomorrow?
I am on the radio tomorrow.
And that'll be what time?
We start at 7.
That's a little early for me on a Saturday, but for you, I'll make an exception.
You're already awake. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's true. I'm up at 5 in case I'm needed.
Right.
Thank you, Lou.
Love you.
Love you back. And back with the headlines. Well, there'll be some highlights next on 720 WGN. It's already been a very weird morning around here. Got a lot going on, though, I'm telling you. President Trump's running a few minutes late. He's probably trying to figure out a way to invite Darth Vader to the White House, and then somebody's got to explain it's not a real guy. But we'll get to him soon.
There's nothing to stop us now.
And Dan Hampton and Adam Hoge are coming up. Did the Bears make any particular news yesterday when they opened a camp?
The big news is Roquan Smith's not there. This is their number one middle linebacker.
Well,
this is the rookie that's supposed to change the way the defense plays.
It's not technically a holdout yet because they don't practice till this afternoon.
Okay.
And there aren't many holdouts anymore, as we talked about the other day, because there's a wage scale for rookies. So
let's
you kind of know what you're going to pay.
Let's be honest. When the alarm goes off every morning, everyone in this room considers holding out. Everyone here considers. I may not go into that.
Not me.
Here's your text question of the day. Yesterday, later in the show, we talked about the new Chicago Magazine's list of the top 50 restaurants. Alinea number one, Portillo's number two. No, the real people food. The real people food. Because a lot of people even texted in. They said, nobody eats at these places except for Sandberg and Justin. So what are the top 50 real people restaurants? And we're not going to do all 50, but the text question is, what is your favorite real people restaurant? Yeah, it could be a McDonald's. It could
Palace
be a
Grill.
Could be,
love the Palace Grill.
Yeah, the one-offs, the mom-and-pop shops in the suburbs and in the city. I'd love to hear about those. But your favorite joint, your place to go. All right, that's the text question. 312-981-7200.
The Valley Lodge in Glenview.
Yeah.
That's a...
You introduced me to the guy that runs it.
They were in Vegas.
Couldn't be a better guy.
Oh, yeah. Warren. And they have the best fried chicken. I got their fried chicken two Saturdays ago, and Pat was looking at me across the table and said, I can't believe my wife ordered a giant platter of fried chicken.
So he was happy and annoyed?
I think so, because he gets them, but it's probably not the most attractive.
Does the sushi from the Walgreens count?
I can't really judge, but picking up sushi at Walgreens has always been suspect to me.
It's really good.
I think your prescription should be from Walgreens, not your raw fish.
It's real people food.
Real people restaurants, not any of this fancy schmancy stuff. 312-981-7200.
You can text Dave in your answer. I know Dave likes roti.
I do. I like roti. I also like a place I've really come to like is True Food Kitchen. We had dinner there last week.
I know what you're talking about. I drove by it downtown yesterday. I'm not sure that's real people food.
No, it is. It's it definitely is. It's a little healthier.
Stuff,
it's not all. I don't know about the organic.
I like that place.
Yeah, it's really good. Well,
okay, there's my verification. It's not real people food.
They have an inside-out quinoa burger.
That's what I'm. Okay. No more calls. You're going to be the only one that suggests True Food Kitchen, including the people that own the place who just.
Oprah just invested in it. Yeah, she's buying
True Food
it.
Kitchen just texted and said, "Tell Dave we're not real people."
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Here's your first Papa's Pizza in Woodridge. See, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah. We got Bill's Pizza in Mundelein.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Bill's.
Yeah, we went to Bill's. I went to Bill's.
Will you start keeping a list?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to go with Anyways in Villa Park.
Here's another one. Anyways in Villa Park.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back with President Trump, if he's available. I mean, if I'm Vladimir Putin, he's calling me at the right time.
I just love you have an in.
Big day. Big day. It's always a big day when Donald Trump's on the phone. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you?
Good morning, Cochran. You know, frankly, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't not want to talk to you. Oh, wait.
Is that right?
That was a double negative or triple negative. I get confused sometimes.
Yes,
for example, if I say I wouldn't not want to talk to CNN, that means I really don't want to talk to those losers.
I think we all fall. Now, you got in trouble early this week with the whole double negative thing. With Russia, with the meddling in our election. So you got this 2 hour session with Vladimir Putin. Come on, level with me. How did it go?
Tremendous. You know, it was a beautiful meeting, Cochran. It went great. Actually, we talked about nuclear weapons in Syria for 15 minutes.
Okay.
And then the rest of the time, we watched a brand new Mission Impossible movie.
Okay.
Yeah, Vladdy got a bootleg pirate copy from a guy.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of blurry and hard to see, but which is why that guy is no longer with us. Weird coincidence.
Sure. You questioned Putin on whether he meddled or not, even though reports say you were briefed on the meddling not only 2 weeks before the inauguration.
I did question him strongly, you know, because nobody's tougher on Russia than me.
Uh-huh.
Lots of people tell me that.
Uh-huh.
And then Putin denied that they meddled very strongly. You know, how strongly did he deny it? Vladdy gave me the pinky swear.
Oh.
Pinky swear,
yeah.
So you know he's being honest.
A lot of people are complaining, too, that there weren't enough people in the room with you, just you, Putin, and the interpreters. No one's taking an official record that way.
Look, everyone needs to calm the hell down, okay?
Okay,
I mean,
right.
Anderson Cooper was so worked up about it the other night, I thought his hair was going to turn clear. You can relax, AC360.
The media, listen, the media's tough on you. You've earned it, but they've really been hitting you on this one.
You mean the fake news? Yeah, I really shouldn't be surprised. I mean, I could save a guy from a burning building, and MSNBC's Rachel Maddow would say I'm taking away jobs from firemen. Come on. She's a piece of work, isn't she?
Uh-huh.
Have you seen her? She looks like every starting pitcher in the Little League World Series.
That's not nice.
Now, these fake news people are sad, Cochran. They're sad people, like Wolf Blitzer. That guy's looking pretty scary lately, too. No, really. Wolf looks like a recently divorced mall Santa getting ready to date again. He really does.
You know, he's actually 50% wolf. Were you aware of that?
I could believe it.
Listen, after all that happened this week, we find out you've invited Vladimir Putin to Washington. I'm just going to appeal to you man to man. What are you thinking here? You invited Putin in for another summit?
We're booting some fresh sheets in the Lincoln bedroom bed. It's going to be great. And studies have shown, you know, the second date, Cochran, is where all the real action starts.
Is that right?
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, I've already told Melania she has to sleep on the couch, hide a bed when he comes over. We're going to stay up all night, eat popcorn, paint our toes. And when the third meeting comes around, Vladdy's going to introduce me to his parents.
Well, that's exciting. It really is. The big military parade you're planning for November, $12 million for a parade everybody says they don't want. What's happening?
Oh, well, who doesn't love a parade, Cochran? It's going to be tremendous. We're going to have huge crowds.
How big? Like, how big
people.
Are the crowds?
Huge crowds.
Okay. Yeah.
way more people that came out to cheer me on in London last week.
Yeah, okay.
They will have lots of soldiers marching, lots of bands playing, lots of floats, too. You know who we're flying in? The Thai boys soccer team is going to be on their own float. Yeah, they're going to be throwing candy out to the crowds from inside a papier-mâché cave.
That's maybe the worst.
Beautiful.
Maybe the worst idea ever. 12 million seems like a lot for a parade.
Well, what else are we going to spend it on? I'm not golfing that weekend with my usual 100-man security detail, so it's kind of a wash.
Maybe you're right.
It's a wash.
Let's switch topics. Your MAGA hats, your Make America Great Again hats, made in China. Now, China and the trade war, the tariffs. You know, you're costing your supporters more money to buy the hat.
Wrong. Look, that's totally fake news. Only a fool would let that happen.
Uh-huh.
None of my Make America Great Again hats are made in China, okay? A certain amount of them are made by 8-year-old Chinese children who work in an abandoned airplane hangar in Bangladesh. There's a big difference. I don't know where you got your information.
Yeah, it's not good. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you calling.
Mark my words, Cochran. By the end of the year, I will have spent more time alone with Putin than with Melania and Barron combined.
Don't doubt it.
That's how much I care about Russian diplomacy. Well, that and the tape of me at the hotel in Moscow with the hookers getting out.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, the tape, not of me.
Not of you.
Not with the hook. Double negative again.
Yeah, I get it. Right.
Not with the hook. Yeah.
Goodbye or hello, sir. Goodbye or hello.
Later, loser.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Oh, yeah.
President Trump, I think with each call, he grows more fond of me.
Love that dude.
As I do of him. 6:58, we're back after this on 720 WGN.
This year we're not going to lose because we're tired of these Chicago Bears blues. Yeah. Come on.
Chicago Bears blues.
This year we're not going to lose. Chicago.
We are lucky to have Adam Hogue as our Bears insider all year long. Of course, in football season, it's even more important to have yourself a Hogue. If you can get a Hogue, get one. Bring them home. Morning, Adam.
Hey, good to talk to you guys again. It's officially football season, although it doesn't really feel like it.
Are you giddy? Are you giddy with excitement?
That's usually offset by the presence of just being in Bourbonnais.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lovely town, but, you know, it's Bourbonnais. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about what matters here. How's the quarterback?
Quarterback's great. I mean, you want to talk about the anti-Jay Cutler in terms of every single player clearly believes in Mitch Trubisky. I mean, second-year guy who's still very young, he has clearly commanded this entire team, and the players unquestionably believe in him. Now, how much better he gets in year two is the huge question that's really going to not only determine the season, but the direction of this franchise going forward. But I'm very encouraged. Yeah, I mean, the numbers weren't great last year, but I liked what I saw.
Well, yeah.
Considering that he was playing in one of the worst offenses I've ever watched and didn't look terrible. I think that's actually a success.
Matt Nagy, like him?
I do.
That's the head coach, kids, for those of you who have lost patience with the Bears.
I like him because I think he's going to get his offense in the right direction, and I think he's a great fit with Mitch Trubisky. They bonded when Trubisky was coming out of North Carolina. The Chiefs almost drafted him. That's where Matt Nagy came from. Now, that being said, no one has any idea if he can coach. I mean, can he be a head coach? I mean, can he, you know, challenge plays correctly, which John Fox can never do? Can he, you know, put together a full game plan for all three phases? No one knows yet. I think it's a good thing, though, that the Bears have an extra preseason game. They'll play 5 preseason games this year, and that really helps Matt Nagy and his coaching staff more than anybody, in my opinion.
Adam, I know they threw a lot at Trubisky when Nagy came in. Do you see them tempering that at all, or are they just going to keep piling on Trubisky and see how much he can take and how much he can handle?
Well, that's another reason why I'm so encouraged by Trubisky, because he's so obsessed with this game of football, which is what you want to see from your franchise quarterback, and not every quarterback has it. But he's so obsessed, and you could tell last year, you know, he was so diplomatic in the way he handled things in that offense he was operating in. You could tell he wanted more. You could tell he wanted more from day one when he got down here in Bourbonnais and was inexplicably the third-string quarterback when he was clearly the best one on the roster. He always wanted more, and from day one when the Bears hired Matt Nagy, they said, this is the head coach we're going with, and this is the quarterback we're going with, and it's going to be these two that really determine the outcome of everything. So, yes, it's a much more complicated offense. They're throwing a lot at him, but he wants it. And I think that he's going to embrace it, and they're going to figure this thing out. It's going to be much harder for defense to figure out what the Bears are doing offensively this year, which is, you know, kind of the whole point, right?
Yeah. Hey, Adam, where's Roquan Smith?
That's a great question. I'm not.
Well, let's bring him out right now, Roquan.
I'm not entirely worried about this situation, but it is weird because he's officially Ryan Pace's first training camp holdout in 4 years. He's not here. He doesn't have his contract done. And this is very rare in today's NFL when the rookie wage scale is all figured out when a guy's drafted. So they're haggling over the structure of the contract. It's usually how much the signing bonus you get up front, how it's paid out, or, you know, other minute details like offset language. What I find interesting, these are the same agents, though, that had Joey Bosa. Remember, Joey Bosa 2 years ago held out till the end of August before he joined the Chargers. And that's really the longest and only significant holdout we've seen under this new CBA that was signed back in 2011. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen here with Roquan Smith, but you certainly want your first-round pick at training camp, especially one that's going to be so important in the defense that you consider is going to really be the quarterback of the defense.
So Justin was talking off the air, and I agree with this. The most important thing is who brought in the coolest stuff, who brought in stuff they shouldn't bring in, and what's the most amazing thing you've seen moved into camp so far other than...
Can't tell you who brought stuff in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I want to know the stuff that you're going to get in trouble for. So tell me that stuff.
Yeah, just remember, guys, I'm not allowed to tell you anything.
Right.
Over the next 3 weeks.
Right. This is Trump. This is Trump and Putin. Your allegiance is to the Bears, but not to us. That's what this is.
Look, I was given a heads up yesterday that you guys wanted these kinds of answers.
Yes.
The Bears, specifically, I think, told the players when to arrive yesterday, which was like right during Ryan Pace's press conference, because we stood out there and basically no one showed up. And then the press conference started, and I looked outside, and it was like a line of Maseratis like down the block. And I'm like,
well, how do you know that wasn't just another day in Bourbonnais?
That's true.
That's really great. So, that's funny that they did that.
So, I hate to tell you this, but, like, I don't have a great answer. First of all, no one really had any cool stuff. Like, Brandon Marshall rolled in on one of those, like, scooters that you balance on. I don't even know what they're called. Segways, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, a few years ago, Jay Cutler came in that, like, scary van that one year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. No one did anything cool yesterday. Everyone had.
But every team, by NFL rules, every team has to have a redneck. Every team has to have someone who pimps their ride. Every team has to have somebody driving grandma's car that, you know, they borrowed. I mean, where's our guys?
I don't know. Like, even Pat O'Donnell last year had that McLaren that he came in. Then everyone was like, why is the punter driving a McLaren? It turned out to be a gag because some dealership gave it to him just so he would show up in front of the camera.
Any Teslas rolling in?
I think Kyle Long has a Tesla.
Imagine stuffing Kyle Long into a Tesla.
Maybe we can ask camp about the fun things that they used to bring to camp up in Platteville.
Back in the old days when they had hitting.
Right.
All right, Adam.
Campbell probably have better stories than I will, at least from yesterday.
Well, go tell your friend Putin. That's Adam Hogue. Where's your next blog?
To WGNRadio.com/Bears. We do have a fun podcast, brand new podcast, the Hogue and Johns podcast, up from last night with plenty of more information on the Bears.
Plenty of more information. Obviously not an English major. Hello, I'm calling your teacher. Thank you, Adam Hogue.
Thanks, Adam.
All right. Bye, guys.
Dan Hampton coming up in a little bit with the perspective of the Hamp. Let's do this. Back with the most valuable person on the planet. Oh, and a story from Google. Next on 720 WGN. We live in strange times, kids. Google bombing is messing around with search engine optimization, SEOs. And a thread started on Reddit, a very popular way to spread the word on anything. And this Reddit thread associated Donald Trump's picture with the word idiot. That blew up into a worldwide phenomena. And this morning, if you Google idiot, you'll get pictures of Donald Trump. Now,
great.
That's not helpful. That's not helpful.
That's also a dumb bit.
Yeah, it's just not helpful. It's not. So, you've been warned or told, depending on your perspective. the amount of time it takes to start a worldwide trend, I'd rather see you maybe register a few more people to vote and get ready to make a change in the fall. So, and by the way, you do have to vote. For those of you considering not voting, I'm coming to your house and I'm picking you up and taking you. The most valuable person on the planet for Friday, July 20th, 2018, it's...
The Lunch Bus.
The Lunch Bus. The Lunch Bus, manned by a guy named Paul Morello, Senior Manager of Public Relations for the Greater Chicago Food Depository.
We love Paul.
Yes, we do. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm great. How are you?
Listen, while you're doing the right thing for helping people, we've got people somewhere around the world Google bombing Donald Trump. We need more people bringing food to you.
We will definitely take all the food we can get because the summertime can be really challenging for kids in our community.
Growing kids and teens don't eat, bad things happen physically, emotionally, and we got a lot of hungry kids, right?
Yeah, you know what? People so often associate the summer, as they should, with a time of fun and relaxation for kids. You know, kids are going to parks, they're going to movies, they're hanging out with their friends. But for a huge proportion of children in our community, the summer is a time of uncertainty. It's a time of kids not necessarily knowing where their next meal is going to come from. And that's because kids get free and reduced price, low-income children get free and reduced price breakfast and lunch at school. You know, when the school year ends, those meals go away. In a lot of those cases, those kids don't make up those meals. So kids are struggling to find food during the summer. The Lunch Bus is a program that the Greater Chicago Food Depository works on that helps fill that gap. Basically, what the Lunch Bus is, it's a refrigerated vehicle, makes 24 stops across the city and south suburbs every day, Monday through Friday, during the summer, delivering free meals to kids in need at parks, at churches, at summer camps.
Outside the library?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, outside the library, yeah. We're working with Chicago Public Libraries. We're working with Chicago Park District this summer as well. So, yeah, it's bringing meals to places where kids are already living and they're playing and hoping to kind of fill that gap during the summer.
You know, Paul, there's been a lot made about food insecurity, and we see these numbers. I mean, 200,000 children considered food insecure or at risk for hunger. Do you see that number increasing as in 2018? Are we at a point where or have we seen the government and the work that you do at the Chicago Food Depository put a dent or take a chunk out of that number?
I think what's interesting, Justin, is that, you know, in 2008, we saw this significant spike in need, right? The recession began. People were out of jobs. They were coming to pantries, kitchen shelters, those kinds of programs. Since then, the economy has rebounded. You know, the stock market is back up. But what we're seeing is that the need is still really high. We're not necessarily serving more people than we were in 2008, but we're not really serving less. Right now, we're still serving more people than we were before the recession began. So, you know, that need remains really high, and it's high across the board, veterans, older adults, and obviously children as well. You mentioned the 200,000 kids that are food insecure in our community. So that's about one in every six children in Cook County is not knowing where the next meal is going to come from.
There's a billboard in the city. I'm not sure if it's for the food depository specifically, but it says the average family throws away like $1,800 worth of food a year. And that is one of the things we combat at our house. I cannot stand wasted food. If we transition that to food depository donation instead of putting too much food on the plates at home, that could solve a lot of your problems of providing food for kids that don't have access to any food, let alone extra food.
Yeah, you know, we talk all the time about hunger and these numbers. And, you know, in Cook County, there's 812,000 people that the food depository is serving every year. Hunger is a solvable problem. There is enough food in our city, in our county, in the United States as a whole to feed everybody in need.
Right.
But the challenge is connecting people with that food. So there's obviously opportunity there, yeah.
The Lunch Bus makes 24 stops along four routes, northwest and south sides of the city and burbs. And again, 800 meals served every single day. That number can go up with your help. What do people do?
So if you are someone who is in need of summer meals, what I'd suggest is go to summerfeedingillinois.org. You can type in your zip code. It'll populate a list of summer feeding sites. You can also text FOODIL to 877-877. It'll also give you a list right on your phone of places you can go. If you want to get involved with the Food Depository, chicagosfoodbank.org is our web address, and we're always looking for volunteers and obviously donations.
Not your first day, my friend. Paul, thank you.
Thanks, you're Paul. So welcome. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate you being on. There you go. The most valuable person on the planet for obvious reasons. That's a good dude doing a good thing. We've got Blackhawks convention passes, 312-981-70.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Tiger Woods just hit a 240-yard 5-iron in the rain. I know, it's funny. It looks like golf, but it's not the game I play. Let's go to Dan Hampton, sponsored by your Chevy Drive Chicago.com people. Dan can throw a 5-iron 240 yards. I don't know that he can hit a 5-iron 240 yards. Hello, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Steve-O. You're exactly right. Sometimes it depends on the wind. But I can get it down there pretty good. How's everything going?
You know, we're fine. We're excited for another football season. And we had a discussion earlier about the stuff you guys bring to camp. I'm guessing it was cooler than what they're bringing now.
Well, yeah. Now they're bringing laptops and, you know, vitamin packages. And we were bringing ice chests. And boom boxes. So it's
boom boxes and TVs, right? I remember you guys carrying in TVs.
Yeah, and when we were at Lake Forest my first 3 years, the rooms weren't air-conditioned, so we had to go to hardware stores and find an air conditioner.
Right, and then put it in the window and do your own install.
It was great. It was great. But you're exactly right. It's that time of year again. And, you know, this week, it's always my kickoff to football season is I do a thing for the Bears. It's called the season ticket delivery. And, then, you know, last year it was down in Indiana. This year we were in Wheeling and went to see a bunch of fans in Wheeling and deliver the tickets. And it was a great time. And, again, everybody is excited. You know, we got a new coach. We got the young quarterback. A lot of reasons to be excited. Oh, by the way, Little Dan was with me. You remember Little Dan?
Oh, yeah. Little Dan was at the Chevy shoot where we did the commercials.
Exactly. And it was weird. He found a purse, and it turns out it's his grandma's purse. And she was very grateful when he found it and gave it back to her. And when she looked inside, she goes, wait a minute. There was a $20 bill in here, and now it's 20 singles. And Little Dan said, yeah, the last purse I found didn't have change for a tip either.
See, that's why I look at Little Dan, and I don't know if he's going to be a stand-up comedian or somebody from the National Football League.
That's great.
He's a funny kid. Funny kid.
Yeah, but the long and short of it is, yeah, this is going to be one of those years where we all say, okay, let's see what happens, because you know, and we said this many times last year, and in the off season, you know, the template of what the Eagles were able to you know, accomplish this year, Ryan Pace and the Bears, they're saying, hey, that's the way we want to do it. We got the assistant from Kansas City under Andy Reid. We got the young quarterback that's supposed to be bona fide, and a veteran defensive coordinator that can, you know, solve problems. So, hey, we'll see. We got some competition at wide receiver, and we'll see how things go in camp.
Yeah, Matt Nagy has promised a physical camp. This is something that you and OB have been preaching for the last few years. Yeah, for a long time. How physical can they be in camp without it causing harm down the road from a physical standpoint?
Or an NFLPA issue.
Yeah, or getting outside the rules.
Well, again, you drive down the interstate, you see a bunch of kids shooting hoops, you see a bunch of kids playing baseball, you don't see people blocking and tackling. I mean, you got to make these guys do it. And if you don't require it in training camp, then it's hard to expect them to be efficient at it when when the lights come on. So I think he's got to push it. And I'll tell you this, you know, you can say what you want about Pete Carroll, But Pete Carroll has always lived on the edge and got fined because he had very physical practices. And, hey, he's willing to take, you know, some of the medicine. But we've seen his teams, you know, there was a run of 2 or 3 years where they were in the Super Bowl. Seemed like every year are knocking on the door. So I think it's important. And I know this, Andy Reid hung his hat on a very physical offensive line and execution of the offense. And hey, that's what we need. We need an offensive line that will be very efficient, but more important, they need to be powerful. And we've got some very exciting running backs. If Trubisky gets time, I'm sure he'll be able to, you know, find targets. It's got to be earned and established when you get to camp, and it's going to happen in the next 10 days. You know, next thing you know, we'll break camp. We got the
we got a game coming up.
Games because of the Hall of Fame game, but man, it needs to be done in the next 10 days.
The Bears, of course, have had the worst luck when it comes to injuries. This will be the first time in recent memory where they have started a camp where everyone is healthy. How important is that? And secondly, have they figured out what the problem has been for the last couple of years and the fact that they have had a spat of injuries that seem to be worse than everywhere else around the league?
I don't know if it's bad luck or, you know, just, you know, there's a lot of guys that think you can come to camp and get in shape. And then when they come, then they start, you know, having a soft tissue injuries and this and that. Hopefully, you know, a new coach, a new sheriff in town has, you know, established a little bit of discipline, and the guys will show up. You know, the good news is guys like Kyle Long, he's supposed to be 100%. Allen Robinson, the prized free agent receiver. And, of course, Leonard Floyd. These are players, difference makers that we need to not only be healthy, but play every game. So far, so good. It's hopefully our year to be lucky, and it takes a little luck to stay healthy, but they should be able to do it.
Hey, Dan, have you gotten a chance to watch Jay Cutler's new reality show?
I don't know if I could take it. I've heard a little bit about it, but I haven't watched it.
Here's the thing. Hemp has a very unique cable system. Jay Cutler won't stick to his TV. Anything with Cutler on it doesn't actually show up.
Look, I'll tell you. I'm one of those guys, and I tell my wife all the time, there's no such thing as reality TV. When anybody brings a camera out, I could walk into that studio right now and take out a cell phone and put it on video. Nobody's going to act the same way they would if there was no camera. So I haven't seen it. I don't know if I'm missing anything, am I?
Yes, and Sandberg's opinion, you're missing great, great, great artistic work. So she's going to make sure she sends you a jump drive of all the shows so you can binge watch them.
That'll be awesome. By the way,
when Ham says that'll be awesome, he means that won't be awesome.
That won't be awesome, yeah.
Hey, last thing before you go, speaking of being in shape, Adrian Claiborne plays golf where I play golf, and I see him occasionally. He's a good dude, playing now for the Patriots. And, you know, you talk about getting in shape. This guy looks as good as he did in college. He's been working at it. He works at it every day. And, again, what you said, I wish the Bears would hear every word of it. Because you don't go to work in the NFL and then start figuring out how to play in the NFL. Preparation is the key to every second of every game. That's why they spend so much time on it. So fat guys in camp, not a healthy idea.
No, it's not. And, you know, I'll tell you this. The whole thing from top to bottom, and, you know, like everyone else, I've read certain reports that, oh, hey, guess what? Now things are going to be different. And look, I'm hoping that we'll find some guys on defense that will be more destructive than John Fox has been for the program over the last 3 years. But at some point, everybody has to realize this isn't a daycare. This isn't daycare. We got to work. We got to make things happen. And you can't wait and do it in October. You got to do it in July and August. And that is what earns you the right to win games when the season starts. And, hey, it's not going to be easy. On the road, up in Lambeau, it's going to be kind of a shock to the system for a young coaching staff. So I hope we get our work done and get the hay in the barn in August.
Get yourself Hamp's truck. Not his truck particularly, but the brand new Chevy Silverado we're giving away, the Centennial Edition. Go to WGNRadio.com/contest and register. It'll take you less than a minute, and you'll be in to win. And Hamp, you love that truck. I know that.
It's gorgeous, and we couldn't get you out of the back seat when we're shooting
right.
promo for it.
Get out of the car, Steve. Get out of the car.
It's too hot. The air's blowing.
And that was the good moment. All right, buddy. Enjoy your day.
Look forward to it this season. It's going to be fun.
Go Bears. Back. There you go. See, I did it with him. See, I did the Go Bears.
That was good.
That's an NFL Hall of Famer. Nate. We said Go Bears together. That's cool.
That was very cool.
Hey, you guys, remind me, Joe Romano's off today and headed for a weekend wedding, so have fun, Joe. But we need an eggplant update. We got to get that in here somewhere. We got to get an eggplant update. The mysterious eggplants that are being dropped at producer Pete Zimmerman's house. Pete's covering his and Joe's job today. And so far it's working out, but we may not, we got 2 hours left for Pete to kill the show.
Or to get an eggplant, meaning someone could get him in the next 2 hours.
Well, that's possible. That's possible.
And I'm a little disappointed that after all the conversation we had yesterday about Lay's potato chips, there's not a ton of them here.
Oh, yeah, you would have thought there would have been a big drop.
Right.
Our list today,
after all those Lay's potato chip talk, I went home and ate some Cheetos.
The whole bag?
It seems somehow blasphemous. It seems chip blasphemous.
I know. We have the little individual snack bags or whatever. Okay.
I was so hungry when I left here yesterday, I went home and ate all afternoon.
Yeah, everything that wasn't nailed down?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Text question of the day is, what's your favorite regular people restaurant? The New Chicago Magazine's out with the top 50 restaurants, and they're all the fancy schmancy places. Good for them. Here's $900. Give me a small bit of food in the center of a fine piece of china and a glass of wine. No, we're talking about regular people food, like Aurelio's in Edison. You got one?
That's a good one. Galati's in Lake Villa. I love Galati's pizza.
Pepo's Sandwiches in Palos Hills.
Prairie Moon in Evanston.
Great spot.
Francesca's on Clark. Francesca's anywhere.
Tri-City's Edge on the northwest side for great barbecue.
Hackney's on Lake.
Nico's in Woodstock. I've been there. I've had a few cocktails. They have the best meatloaf anywhere, this person said.
Ma! Meatloaf! Quonset Pizza in Waukegan.
I like that pizza, too. The Rusty Nail in Ringwood, Illinois. Great burgers and Taco Tuesday.
Well, Wayne's Pizza in Arlington Heights.
I've been to Wayne's.
You approve?
Uh-huh.
And you got another one?
Yeah, Original Bagel in Bialy in Buffalo Grove, which I also personally love.
Yeah, that's a good place.
And Chamagoucha in Lombard. Chamagoucha in Lombard.
you should pitch them on a new local spot.
Yeah, there you go, right?
You could go and get, you could be the king of the new local TV spot.
For Chamagoucha, and also one last one, Chen's in Lake in the Hills for the greatest egg rolls anywhere, I'm told.
Can I throw one in Uptown?
Absolutely.
Anna Maria Pastoria.
Anna Maria Pastoria. Wait, isn't that the woman that does Around Town on Channel 9 in the morning?
I don't know.
That's Annabella Val.
Clark and Montrose, good Italian food.
Yeah.
All right, nicely done by you. Happy anniversary to Ross Cochran and Lauren Cochran.
Hey,
5 years yesterday. I didn't want to bring it up yesterday because they're out of town. I didn't want the paparazzi to follow them.
You don't want to be cliche and actually wish them happy anniversary on the actual anniversary. It's cliche.
No, that's the way other people do it.
That's the way other people do it.
And Abigail and Ross and Lauren, three of the world's greatest people, obviously. But happy anniversary. Love you guys.
Yeah,
and and Miles' birthday this weekend.
This weekend is his birthday, yeah.
All right. Young Miles, Justin's son, will be how old?
11.
11. It's a big year. It's a very big year. We'll get you more of these restaurants coming up, regular people restaurants. But I got to play this sound real quickly before the news, Steve. You know about this. Dan Coats, the director of national intelligence, sitting at a security conference in Colorado yesterday being interviewed by the legendary NBC correspondent Andrea Mitchell when he finds out, well, listen.
I do want to say we have some breaking news. The White House has announced on Twitter that Vladimir Putin is coming to the White House in the fall.
Say that again?
Vladimir Putin coming to the...
Did I hear you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he tags it with, that's going to be special. Again, you know, you don't need to pay attention to politics to understand why this is a big deal. He is the director of national intelligence. All intelligence, all security goes through him related to the federal government. And he was not told that Vladimir Putin was invited to the White House. The guy that is under investigation and should be under criminal indictment for effing with our election in 2016. And by all accounts, it's still going on right now. You're inviting the fox to the hen house.
Effing, I would say attacking.
That's just outrageous.
I would say the word war. I know we talked yesterday with Roskam and
they called
it
that.
Yeah. What's the optics of this going to be if he comes right before the election?
Well, I don't know. This almost feels like Trump is screwing with his own alleged own Republican Party now, because he either is so clueless he doesn't understand the political damage he's causing, or he doesn't care. And by the way, I don't care about the political damage. I just think it's outrageous that this guy could come within. There should be a no-fly zone for Vladimir Putin. He's not welcome here. Yeah. He's a killer. Yeah. He's a criminal. He's a thug. He has no interest in the best things for America. He's interested in the worst things for us.
Unless he's going to come here and we arrest him. That would be the only...
Is there precedent,
That's what's
though?
Weird
I
for him know. To
Is
come
there,
here.
I don't know. Has Putin ever been? Has he ever been to Washington, D.C.? I don't know the answer to that.
I don't believe he's met with any other presidents? He may be here now.
That's true. I'm very interested in the Russian agent. I want to pay closer attention to the woman who was...
Well, check it out. But yeah. The story matters because it matters, kids, and not just because Dan Coats had to laugh so he wouldn't cry. It's 8:03. Dean's coming up. Steve Cochran show. So Dean's not coming up at all now?
Well, no. He might be on at the very end of the segment.
Oh,
but
I'll
be taking
care of
the enemy.
I thought he was going to be on, then he wouldn't be on. Okay, I misunderstood you.
Entertainment.
Steve Cochran show.
I got you covered, Steve.
Thank you very much. Steve Cochran show all-time top 10. Oh, this is number 10. Cool in the Gang.
Love his name.
Why don't we switch it up this weekend? If you're going to a wedding, instead of dancing to Celebration, play a little Hollywood Swing. Come on, white people. It's 8:12. Sandberg's in for Dean. Dean may join us in a few minutes.
Like a
He's
cameo.
In the middle of his TV duties right now. What do you have in show business stuff we need to know?
So Miranda Lambert mm-hmm. has been seen out with Evan Felker holding hands during a New York City outing.
Who's Evan Felker?
He is a lead of a band. It's Troubadour or something. He was on tour with her band.
What's the deal with Miranda Lambert? Because she's being painted in some places as the one that's causing her marriages to end.
Well, she cheated. So
is that official?
Yes.
Okay, but didn't she cheat in the first one, too? She married twice, I think.
No, she's only been married once.
Oh, the last
Blake
relationship.
Blake Shelton had been married twice.
The last relationship that ended, I think it was an engagement. Supposedly, yes. She cheated in that as well.
I blame the men.
Okay, all right, back to you.
They didn't keep her interested, but, you know, he was whispering.
Glad you could sum that up.
He was whispering in her ear, and at one point, he even leaned in for a kiss. So I'm happy for them because
well, good
I
luck.
Love her.
Good luck. You're there with the Black Widow. I wish you well.
I know you're going to be excited about this. Bristol Palin is set to join the cast of MTV's Teen Mom Season 8.
It's just a ridiculous show. In the middle of all these ridiculous shows, Teen Mom, shut up.
How many kids does she have now?
Well, she gave back birth to Tripp. He's 9 now when she
oh
was 17.
Gosh, I can't believe
Can
he's
you believe
nine
that
already.
Was 9? I know.
And she has
she
one
has
or two
one,
more.
Right?
At least
one
more.
Yeah.
So
with
that's
two
exciting.
Different people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So be ready for that. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Caitlyn Jenner attended the ESPYs with Sophia Hutchins. She's a model. They also like to play golf together, and they have a dog named Bertha.
Was this like the first public date for the two of them?
They've been seen doing stuff together, but like she hasn't said, this is my girlfriend. But I'm happy for them.
Happy for anybody that's happy.
I will suggest for all couples, playing golf together is a great couples activity.
Do you really think so?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure about that. And here's why.
Okay.
You play well and you hurry up. And I don't care if you're a man or a woman. If you're not good, just hurry up.
Yes.
Don't slow up the rest of the world. Don't take 4 practice swings. If you lost your golf ball, unless it's a family heirloom, give it a minute's look and then move on. Because I see a lot of couples fighting while they play golf.
Right. Well, if you and I were a couple, we might fight about it because when we played mini golf.
Well, you just walk in front of everybody. You're just on the Sandberg show, man. You're walking in front. Wait till you see this one, Justin. She's in the car. I'm still on the first hole. She's already in the car at the mini golf place.
I was. Dave and Steve were taking too long.
We had just gotten there. Steve got lost in McCormick Center in the Millennium Park garage.
It's a real shock for people that know me. But do you do that to your husband when you play golf?
I'm quick. I don't waste, because I don't think, you know, like...
But your husband's a good player.
He is, yeah.
He and I are probably about the same. Did when he plays, and he's a fast player,
yeah.
Do you just walk off the green in front of him as soon as you're done?
I do sometimes. I have to watch that when we're playing with other people. I will leave the green, because I call it ready golf. But I know that that's a little bit offensive.
I think we need to call it ready for Sandberg golf.
Yeah, so... So Radiohead played their first concert in Toronto last night. You know, since that 2012 stage collapse.
Yes.
Which was unfortunate. So they did a moment of silence.
Okay.
They lost a member of their band.
Got one more you like?
I do. Yesterday there. Oh, you know what? I'm going to go with this one because you'll like it. I don't know if you guys know Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
He was seen out on a date with a porn star.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, what did I just say? I want everybody to be happy.
She's 41.
41, so that's Stormy Daniels.
And he's 26.
That's the only porn star I can name off the top of my head right now, and I'm not kidding. Stormy Daniels.
Well, her name is Kiara Marie.
Not Stormy Daniels.
And they went to Avra in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And so...
Is it a relationship kind of thing?
He had a big smile on his face. I don't know. He didn't let me know about this, so...
Yeah. Well, you have said he's a very attractive fellow.
I think he's the best-looking quarterback in the NFL.
Really?
Yes.
And I'm sure he could do fine with anybody. So because he's with this porn star, it must be love.
I don't know why he would have wanted given up that backup job, because I think backup quarterback is the best job to have, especially to Tom Brady, holding the clipboard.
I'll give you a $60 million reason why he is getting paid.
Yeah, but he's one of the best jobs in sports, middle relief. You work one or two days a week, and you get $10 million.
He's getting paid. Yeah. I mean, Dave, isn't he one of the top five paid quarterbacks?
Yeah, he is. Paid, but
just because
he
was hot.
Yeah, he got a huge contract, but I agree with what Mary said. Being a backup quarterback in the NFL, is you can't beat it.
No one blames you for anything.
Right.
You know, the
Bears brought in Chase Daniel. I think that it's the fifth team he's played for. He hasn't played all that much, but he's a veteran. He's valued because he's got experience.
Yeah.
Can work with Mark Sanchez, who was with the Bears a year ago.
But Chase Daniel is the backup.
Yeah, right now he is.
That's because I was wondering if Bobby Douglas might be available or... You know, I don't know.
No, but I'm saying a guy like that, if you stick around.
Yeah, you can make a nice living.
You can have a very nice living and not get your brains beat in as much.
Which is really a goal that we should all have at the start of a Friday. Yeah. All right, and can we get a update on the eggplant situation?
We can. Right. And then Dean might join us with a real estate deal right before 8:30.
All right, stand by. Eggplant update coming up. For those of you not familiar with the story, we'll explain what that means. But mysterious eggplants are being left all over Chicago. Well, at least in one place. I neglected to mention that Lisa Haas from Chicago knows how many teeth Duncan Keith lost back in 2010. I said within one tooth. You must have the answer within one tooth. The correct answer could have been 6 or 8.
Oh.
The answer is 7.
I had 31.
7 teeth. Yeah, isn't Duncan Keith goes to your dentist, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. University Associates in Dentistry. They're the dentist for the Blackhawks.
And your dentist has each of those teeth framed in the lobby?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He'll let you put them in your mouth for fun if you want.
Good times. Family pack of four for the 11th annual, 11 years, the 11th annual Blackhawks Convention. It's the Hilton Chicago next weekend, courtesy of Mathnasium, changing lives through math. Congratulations there. All right. Dean may or may not be able to join us. Are we monitoring Channel 9 so we can tell if he gets off TV? We've got 19 TVs in here.
And yeah, he's on right now.
He's talking about the Breaking Bad 10-year reunion right now. I can see it.
Yeah, and the Better Call Saul show may have a special guest. What's his name? From Breaking Bad's coming back from the dead to appear on Better Call Saul.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
The biggest news I think we have this morning, however, is Tom Lehman is 60 years old. He's playing well at the British Open, and his hat's on backwards because of the weather, I suppose. But my mom told me after 50, you can't wear your hat backwards anymore.
Hmm. Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know it either. But she's my mom.
Your mom is right.
That must be where you get your rules from, because you've told Dave he's not allowed to wear a backpack.
Well, I didn't say not allowed. I said it's not advisable.
Well, It hasn't changed me. I mean, I'm still...
I got to say, you've been a rebel. You've been a rebel. I'm basically taken my request for you not to do it, and you said, ha, I'll live my life.
I'm willing to fight convention, Steve, and you can't impose your standards on me.
You can't make me.
Nope.
Let me give you a few more of these restaurants. All right. These are the regular people restaurants. Yesterday, we found out that Justin and Sandberg basically have eaten at every one of these restaurants.
Yeah.
On the top 50 schmoozy... fancy schmancy list.
The foodie lists, yeah.
But these are the regular people restaurants today. Text in yours at 312-981-7200. La Villa on Pulaski and Patterson, great pizza. Del Rio in Highwood. Sammy's Breakfast in Hickory Hills on 95th. Silverado in Elmhurst. Uncle Lair's Pizza in Plano. And Freedom Brothers in Plainfield. Neapolitan Pizza and Craft Beer. Highly recommended, just to name a few. Good morning, Dean.
Howdy.
I know you're running around like crazy with special TV duties this morning as well.
Today, yeah, but I wouldn't miss my time with you.
This is more on entertainment.
You know what I was doing? I got a last minute real estate listing.
Oh, you do?
I wanted to snag this this listing. I didn't want anyone else to get it away from me.
Would you call this a honey of a deal?
This maybe is a super honey of a deal. This may be the honeyest of the honey.
Tell me what you got.
Deals, Steve. This is the house that the Brady Bunch used.
What?
On the Brady Bunch, that famous split-level house that we saw a million times.
Designed by Mike the Architect.
Designed by Mike the Architect. Now, often I bring you some of these listings and they're 12 bedrooms and swimming pools and...
This is modest.
Tennis courts. This is a two-bedroom house.
They only had two bedrooms?
Two bedrooms?
Two bedrooms, and...
So all six kids and Tiger were in one bedroom.
Well, they each were in the three with that bathroom in the middle. Remember that?
But then they built out the attic. Remember when they got older?
Yeah, but then where did Mike and Carol and Alice sleep?
Somebody tell Steve that this is a TV show.
What?
And then they went to Hawaii.
What? I mean,
we
could
go in and
they all slept in the den.
What?
And Alice, the housekeeper, carrying on with Sam the Butcher.
Did we ever wonder why why they needed a live-in housekeeper when Carol wasn't working outside the house?
She did sing in the choir.
Oh, well, that takes time.
She was on the PTA.
Got it. Okay, sorry.
This house is 2,400 square feet. It's not huge.
No, it's really not.
Living room, dining room. It's nothing. It's not that big of a deal. I do have to caution you, if you buy this house and your kids are playing in the backyard, there's a very good chance someone's nose could get broken.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, my nose.
Yeah, is this house in L.A.?
Is Joe Namath throwing a football around?
Well, it was the kids throwing a football around. Right.
Didn't they also bury a tiki doll in the backyard?
was that at the house or when they were in Hawaii?
Well, we want to know if it has good schools. So is it in L.A.?
It is in the Los Angeles area, yes.
Okay. Well, Los Angeles area, that's 80 choices.
I would assume, Dean, that this is a house that is on the, get on this bus and you can see where the stars live kind of house.
Yes, people do drive by the old Brady house.
Yeah. If I bought this place, I'd raise it to the ground to try and stop that.
How dare you?
That's you fun.
How dare you?
I wouldn't want to live in a place that every 20 seconds.
Next thing you know, you're going to take the Full House down.
I've seen that house.
If I lived in that house, I would throw away all the clothes that I have now and buy only 70s looking clothes.
Yep. And mostly stuff that Greg wore.
Exactly. Very Johnny Bravo.
Yes.
I would be like, the people would go, there's that crazy guy who thinks he's Johnny Bravo. That lives in the house.
We never got a price. How much?
This is, I just put this listing up. $1.9 million.
It's 2,400 square feet?
A bargain for a two-bedroom house.
That's a deal.
Somewhere in L.A. I have $146 in cash. Anyone else in with me?
You're rolling with some money today.
New $20 bill.
That's 166.
I have three singles.
That's 169.
I have an old CTA token.
Yeah. You have no cash?
No cash.
What kind of a grown-up are you? Walking around with no cash?
I never have any cash on me.
Well then,
I live in downtown Chicago. I don't want to have cash on
me. You're over the age of 40. Right. Carry some cash.
Okay. I don't need it. You don't need it. It's a new world order.
Ugh.
please.
I have some Belgian money. Will that count?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's the Belgian currency?
Is I don't know, but I
oddly, that
out.
Was a stipulation in this contract. Absolutely no Belgian money can be used in this transaction. I don't. It seemed weird when they brought it up, but now I understand why.
I got $160, and that's straight cash, homie, so I expect you to put that in as an offer.
Steve, I'm putting this offer in. This would be so fantastic if I was able to snag this honey for you even before it goes on the market.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. It's the story.
That's the way they became Steve's Bunch.
Actually, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, we're going to need extra blocks, but we got plenty of people for all the blocks in the Brady Bunch.
That would be a fantastic radio commercial, yeah, my friend. Strong. A TV commercial really for the show. Love the new Mamma Mia movie. Really entertaining. I like the new Denzel Washington movie, Equalizer 2. Mm-hmm. A couple of indies that I really like also. One is... called Blind Spotting with David Diggs. That is this gritty look at friendship and the abuse of power by the police and reconciliation. A really beautifully thought out movie. Highly recommending that one. I gave it a Dean's List B. And this movie that everybody's talking about, I think, is getting a little more hype than it's worth, called Eighth Grade, that follows a young girl around who's in eighth grade. And all the trials and tribulations of being eighth grade. We've had a million coming up.
Isn't that called
movies.
Mean Girls?
No, it's eighth grade. We talked about it last week. Yeah. They had the director
Bo
on.
Bo Burnham.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I just think that it's okay. And really,
my point is Mean Girls is the movie about middle school.
Yeah. It's an interesting character study. I don't think it's groundbreaking, really, at all. In fact, it's often meandering. And... I found it a little bit annoying spending 90 minutes with a bunch of pre-teenage girls.
Well, you know what, Dean? I live with a pre-teenage girl, 14-year-old, and it's dead on, and it can be really annoying. So.
I'm sure that it's very dead on. I mean, it seems to be. I don't have that much experience with this like you do, but I'm sure it's an accurate look at it. I just don't know why I would be interested in it.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't work, and it would be very odd if you went to it more than once alone. So thanks for that. And Justin saw The King, so we'll talk about that when we have a little more time here. But thank you, Dean, and we'll hear you on the radio Sunday.
I will be there.
All right, and The King is a very interesting concept.
Yeah, we'll talk about later.
Involving Elvis Presley. 8:32, and let's do this before we get to the headlines on 720 WGN.
I believe I am psychic.
The heat tonight and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
A breaker in the air. Deep left. Just in time. My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic.
Psychic.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Stone, not surprisingly, on baseball. Sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Steve always travels with an airport announcer.
I do that because I got to get to Seattle. We open up the second part of the season tonight. So that's pretty nice, yes.
And the plane is about to leave. Dave, say hi to Steve.
Steve, good morning. How was your All-Star break?
It was very nice. No complaints. Everything was nice and quiet, which is how you want it. And now we get back to the last 67 games of the season.
All right. Let me ask you about the week leading up to the All-Star break. We saw some strong performances from White Sox starters. And lastly, Lucas Giolito. As you look back at where he was, if you go back early in the season, where he is now, have you seen significant progress for him?
Well, he's getting some swings and misses, which is something that he wasn't doing early. Plus, he's locating his fastball, which is the key to everything. If you can't locate that, then you've got problems. And, yeah, he's made some great strides. But this is the guy we saw at the end of last year. Because in the last seven performances last year, the last seven starts, he was brilliant. His ERA was in the 2.3s. And this spring, he was very good. Then he started out, for whatever reason, he lost the release point on everything, couldn't get the breaking ball over, couldn't locate the fastball, and that's the reason the ERA is as high as it is. But the last few starts, he's looked like the guy we saw last year, and a guy who's going to stake a claim to one of those spots in the starting rotation moving forward.
Steve, obviously the All-Star break is over. The next big moment will be the trade deadline, which is coming up here. I've already seen players getting moved which way, this way. Are the White Sox going to be involved and active partners in the trade before the trade deadline in Major League Baseball?
Well, I think Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams are both saying, okay, we're open for business, so what am I bid? I don't think there is such a thing as an untouchable. There are guys you don't want to trade. There's guys you don't actively shop. But you're willing to listen to everything because this team is still in the assembly stage. They want to put together as many young prospects as they can to see who takes that step forward. And hopefully injuries that plague the team this year don't move forward and affect the team in the years to come. That you can't really tell. But the more prospects you have, the better chance you have through attrition to bring some guys to the major leagues. You're going to lose a few. There's no doubt about that. But the more you have, it becomes a numbers game to see how many guys you can get up, and that's what the Sox are trying to do. So, yeah, I would assume they're going, what am I bid for each and every one of their saleable commodities?
The airplane, before it leaves, I have a little airplane reading for you on your way to Seattle. SBNation.com, Southside Sox column, the worst managers in White Sox history. Throughout all of White Sox history, there have been 118 Chicago White Sox seasons. How many of us remember, raise your hand now, the great Hugh Duffy? Hugh Duffy in 1910 cost the White Sox 8 games in a single season through bad managing.
Well, you can't beat that, I guess, except if you have a guy who cost you 10, then Hugh is looking pretty good.
Ricky Renteria, second.
Really?
5.4 losses caused by Ricky since he came in as manager. But I think generally we all like Ricky, don't we?
Yeah, I think that Ricky has a chance to be pretty good. You know, it's really hard to judge a manager on his managerial skills when he doesn't have a whole lot of talent, and Ricky hasn't had a whole lot of talent. Right. So we've got to wait and see. Then the talent gets assembled, and then you can really judge what a manager has or doesn't have. But I know that one thing, you can teach the X's and O's. That's something that managers get a feel for as they manage a little bit longer. And bear in mind something. Ricky's only in his third year in the major league, so there's still a growing curve as far as in-game. But Ricky has something that you can't teach, and that is get the team to play hard for you. This team has consistently played hard for Ricky. They've gone out there every day, even though they're undermanned and under-talented. They've gone out there and tried as hard as they can, and that's evidenced by staying close to these teams for a long time in the game before finally giving the game away or getting it taken away in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. That's a trademark of a team that's not quite ready to win yet. That's where this team is. But right now, it's really hard to evaluate anything as far as Ricky's managerial skills are concerned. But the one thing that he's got is he gets these guys to play hard each and every day. They're prepared as well as they can be. But the fact is that they bust it all the time, and that's good.
Yeah, and to reemphasize the point you just made about not having much time to prove your worth, Tony La Russa, Hall of Fame manager, also made the list for one of the worst single seasons, costing the White Sox, along with a brief bit of Don Kessinger, 6.5 wins in 1979. So we don't know what we don't know.
No, you never really know, and all you can ask for is a team is playing hard. They call it losing the clubhouse. Ricky has not lost the clubhouse one iota. So let's see when he gets some talent. Then we'll further evaluate him and see exactly if he's the guy that's going to be charged with moving this team forward. I tend to believe that he is. He just has to have that opportunity and that talent.
Have a safe trip. I don't know if you know this, Steve. You're brought to us by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants.
Well, thank you. And if I was in town, I'd go to Beatrix. But we'll see you guys in a week.
All right. See you, man.
Thanks, Steve.
Have a good trip.
My favorite White Sox manager name I didn't know until this column popped.
What's that?
Pants Roland.
Pants rolling, sure.
Pants rolling.
Did you see the 93 reunion at the park on Saturday?
I was broadcasting it,
and it was so awesome because it was every 90s player that came through, every 80s baseball player. But my favorite was the guys that were a little bit older who were like the bench coaches, and they took their honorary jersey they were given, and they'd tuck it into their khakis. You know, like, so you'd have the one guys coming out, it's what they wore to watch the game. But the tucked-in jersey to the regular pants, great look.
Yeah, solid. There's some interesting fashion choices in White Sox history, as you know. But Dave...
Good to see that crew out there.
Dave, I didn't know this, speaking of pants. Pants Rowland is one of three White Sox managers to win a World Series, and yet he made the worst list. How do you figure that?
Yeah, that's sort of a conundrum.
Oh, he's the Black Sox, part of that Black Sox team.
There's that.
Is Steve Dahl on that list? He cost the team one game in 1979.
That's a good point. He should be on the list. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Disco Steve Demolition.
Steve Dahl, worst White Sox manager ever.
This is a sad story. The father of two Parkland shooting survivors was shot and killed this week in a robbery of his convenience store in South Florida.
It's terrible.
NBC affiliate in Miami reported Ayub Ali, whose son and daughter survived the mass shooting at Parkland, died Tuesday night. He was 61 years old and the father of four. And somebody came into his store with a gun, forced him back into the back room area and shot him and killed him. I don't know. You know, we could use some good news. Didn't you see a movie you liked?
I don't know if it's good news. It's a great film. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, I highly suggest The King, which is a documentary which is at the Music Box on the north side of Chicago on Southport.
Is it fun?
It's a documentary about Elvis Presley. And I know it's a well-documented story, right, Elvis Presley, but it's about the rise and fall of Elvis and what the filmmaker Eugene Jarecki does, which is brilliant. Is he really looks, he gets the Rolls Royce of the 63 Rolls Royce that Elvis had. He had in a bunch of pictures and things like
the
that.
The famous Elvis
car. He actually gets the car. He outfits it with cameras and he goes cross country on a trip. And each town that has something to do with Elvis, Memphis, Nashville, New York, LA, that kind of stuff, he will have somebody in the car with him. And there are a lot of notable people, Ethan Hawke, Emmylou Harris, John Hyatt. The great people to talk about Elvis and get in the car and have a conversation while they drive. But it's about it really just kind of charts the rise and fall of Elvis. And the idea of the film is that Elvis is America and that you almost see the rise and fall of America in Elvis's story. And he kind of talks about we're right now at the fat Elvis stage. The Vegas Elvis stage is where we are in 2018.
So the concern is we're getting close to the why is Elvis in the bathroom so long stage?
Well, it's just really, really fascinating. I hate to say this, but I don't know that much about Elvis Presley. And I know that's crazy to say, but...
It's not crazy to say. I'm 57 years old. I don't know that much about Elvis Presley.
We've been inundated with Elvis Presley imagery and pop culture for years.
Dave, you're an old guy. What was Elvis like?
Oh, I never... personally dealt with him, Steve.
But Elvis is more of your growing up period than he was in mine.
Yeah.
So?
Yeah. But I was more into the Beatles.
Well, there's this great story in the film.
Why did you hate Elvis?
No. Actually, I really wasn't much of an Elvis fan when I was a kid.
Well, clearly.
And yeah, he died on the toilet?
Yeah.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
I do remember the day he died very distinctly.
I swear, just when I get to the idea I really like Grzanich, he makes me want to hit him again.
Well, I just don't like the idea of America dying on a toilet.
Well, that's the point of the film. Well, but it's really good. It's at the Music Box. Eugene Jarecki's done a ton of documentaries. He's award-winning filmmaker. He's won Peabody's, and he showed this film at Cannes and at Sundance.
But you were saying there's a part of it you told me this morning about Elvis and the Beatles.
Yeah, there is. The Beatles took Elvis's thunder, and Elvis was the pop culture man. He was the Britney Spears tenfold before any of
thank God he's dead, because if you just use Britney Spears in the same sentence with him, he'd come and hit you.
I just mean by the idea of all of the paparazzi around, you know. Anyway, at the time when he was doing the films, he, you know, at Paramount, he did 29 films or something like that. He Colonel Parker would put a blanket over his head when he would go in, because the girls would be going crazy. Sure. They'd be waiting at the gate for him, and they wanted to protect him, and they also didn't want to deal with all the girls, right? So when the Beatles came around, the girls all went to the Beatles, and then they left the gate. There was no one at the Paramount gate, but Colonel Parker continued to put the blanket over Elvis's head because he didn't want Elvis to know that the girls weren't there.
That's kind of cool in a weird way,
isn't it? It's sad. The movie is sad because they really get into the loneliness that Elvis, being the first mega superstar of pop culture America, and what he did for RCA and TV and film. There was a point where corporations decided at that point Elvis was going to be a commodity on all forms of media.
Sure.
He was Ryan Seacrest before Ryan Seacrest.
Okay, you put him with Ryan Seacrest. You put him temporarily with Britney Spears.
Well, you saw what happened to Britney Spears. She went crazy, right?
Do you have an insult for Elvis? I'm just curious.
Not an insult. That's an insult. Okay. I'm saying that, like, she was on top of the world, and you saw how she emotionally kind of broke down because of all the paparazzi and everything around.
Right.
Well, Elvis's story is very similar. A lot of what happened to him was about fame and chasing fame and money.
So she was Elvis.
She was in that same form. And the celebrities in this, whether it be Alec Baldwin, Ashton Kutcher, has a great scene where he's in the car and he's talking about what fame has done to him personally. And it's this idea of balancing who Elvis was in America and also what those factors of being a star in pop culture mean. It's a very fascinating documentary.
Where and
Music
when?
Music Box, tonight at 7, Eugene Jarecki is going to be my guest in the Download podcast. I'm going to tape it today. But he's going to be at the Music Box tonight for Q&A.
And when is it going to go on demand?
I'm not sure when I'll ask him. But the documentary's, I think it's on, I think, for a week or so at the Music Box.
The text messaging here is a nightmare, but I just mean that from a technical standpoint. Your texts are always welcome at 312-981-7200. I had a text I really wanted to share with you, but let me just give it to you off the top of my head since now I can't find it in this thing, which is destined to kill me at some point. And that is that Elvis, a woman who said she loved Elvis.
Yeah.
And had a huge crush on Elvis. And she remembers watching a TV special where his pants split.
It's possible.
So that must have been when Elvis was getting puffy.
There are two specials that were tremendous. 1968, he did a special where he wore all black. And he did Jailhouse Rock. Like, he did all the stuff that you would know Elvis from. It was a comeback tour. It was after the movies. And then there was a special in 1976. I could be wrong, in 1975, where he went, that's the Fat Elvis on CBS, where he was sweating. He couldn't get his words out right.
Well, here you go. He was all hopped up on painkillers. 815. Steve, I'm 55. I always thought Elvis was a fat drug addict. But my kids made me go to Graceland. The man was a philanthropist who was taken advantage of throughout his life because he was gullible and kind.
That's a big part
sums it
of
up.
This. Yeah,
sums it up.
Really interesting.
A couple minutes before 9, CLTV will join us here shortly, and Jeremy Roenick and David Foster, who have done great work together, both appearing in the 9 o'clock hour on 720 WGN, and we have an eggplant update. Well, let me go there now. Turn your microphone on. Just ahead of the news, because this is big news. We informed you earlier this week that Pete Zimmerman, who produces this show, that Pete has had, on three separate occasions, maybe more, pairs of eggplants dropped in front of his house, each eggplant slashed.
That's right.
Have there been any more eggplants since we brought this up and made a federal case of it?
There have not been any.
What?
That's good. So it's not a radio stalker. It's not someone who listens to you right. And is like stalking you from this angle. So it's mm-hmm. someone that is mad at you in your neighborhood.
Well, it could be, and they could just be lying low because the heat's on.
Right. When the killer starts.
That's when the eggplants
tracked.
Are off.
Yeah.
So at any given time, given enough space, the eggplants may return.
They may.
Or maybe I don't say anything about it.
What are you planning to do after the conversation we had this week? What's the plan?
I think we're going to buy a camera. And have it.
Well, check with our engineering
plant area.
Listen, Poe, one of our video geniuses here, the video genius, he's in the studio right now. Don't you have some expensive camera you could just lend out for the weekend and hope for the best? It'll come back on Monday. He's saying yes. He's saying yes. Whatever you need, just put it somewhere where it's less likely to be stolen, and let's catch these bad guys.
Maybe Poe can just sit there. And I have a question: as we move into the fall, closer to Halloween, is this going to switch from eggplants to pumpkins? I mean, do you think this is going to go seasonal?
Well, that would be, that would be delightful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That'd at least give us clues.
How about put a container of that Dr. Jack's Dead Bug Brew on the porch?
Just right? The logo would be enough to scare them away.
I think that would just scare them away.
I still like the note that just says, what's your point?
Well, I said carve WTF in three eggplants and see how that goes.
Leave your own, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Start leaving eggplants back. Just put them out in front like they're supposed to be there.
All right, I'll try that this weekend.
But as we learn, they're expensive, so that's going to cost them.
Well, I'll expense it.
Okay.
Should I carve something in it? Should I carve WTF?
Yeah, WTF. Three eggplants, WTF.
Okay. No, yeah, the Steve Cochran Show, logo. 6 to 10, WGN 720, yeah. WGNradio.com. If you can get that carved
and then
in.
Dot, WTF. Steve Krasanich, you space nut, you. Did you see the story that NASA wants a live-in space station for the astronauts on the moon in the next 10 years?
Yeah, that the next time we see astronauts leave the Earth, they may not come back. That's pretty cool, right?
10 years on the moon.
Is it basic training for space?
I guess when we all have to leave the planet because Emperor Trump has taken over everything. But that's a sparse area. That's like you're the first one on the cul-de-sac. You're 10 right. years on the moon.
Well, there's been a rumor for a long time that on the dark side of the moon, there's already a U.S. space base.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, that's the,
I didn't know that. Yeah. This is disturbing news. American cheese is no longer the most popular cheese in America.
What's cheddar?
Russian?
Munster?
Cheddar. Cheddar number one.
Yes. I never
thought. Especially sharp cheddar.
What do I get?
I
never thought American cheese was the most popular.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't know American cheese was actual cheese. I thought it was cheese product.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I thought. I think the ones that come in the individual wrappers, that's cheese product.
Oh, those are the best. The Kraft singles?
Yeah, they're nice and smooth.
Yeah.
How about the Velveeta? What is that really?
That's
cheese product.
Yeah, that's product.
You should ask Big O.
I should, but he's not on right now.
No, I don't.
I think once you eat Velveeta, it stays in your gut for like years.
Yeah. What?
It's like swallowing.
Is this like
gum?
The old like chewing gum story?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or the Rod Stewart thing from the 70s?
My Definitely. Sister was a gymnast, and in college, she and her gymnastic friends would eat fat-free Velveeta cheese, and it caught on fire in the microwave.
Ah!
For real?
Yeah. So that tells you it's just chemicals. Yeah. They combusted. Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to figure out what part of that story is bad, because it is, you know, cheese still. Anybody on the show not like cheese? Because you're off if you don't.
I love cheese.
Everybody loves cheese?
I dare you to, I dare you to say cheese and not smile.
That's why they use it in those pictures, I guess, huh?
That's exactly it.
One more. I have so many choices here. These are all stories we'd normally have time for, but what we're clearly doing here is tap dancing until Jeremy Roenick calls in at his scheduled time, which was 5 minutes ago. Sean Spicer is going to be on the show next week.
Wow.
Plugging his book, right?
Yep.
And
that's correct.
It's not selling well. Even after a plug from Donald Trump and a plug from many other people in the cabinet who maybe are a little more important than Sean. I will tell you this. Through the first 6 months of the Trump presidency, nothing was more entertaining than the Spicy Spicerman daily briefing.
It feels like it was 15 years ago.
Yeah, and it was barely a year ago.
I know, right.
So he'll be on a show. We'll talk to him about that and other things. And the guy that has kind of disappeared is the original chief of staff, Wisconsin's own Reince Priebus. He's working for a highfalutin law firm in D.C. and making millions. But I don't know if this is a strategy by him to stay quiet or if he's preparing, you know, whatever his thing's going to be, a book or something else. Adrian Cronauer died, the disc jockey who inspired Good Morning Vietnam. It's been a while since you've probably seen it, but it's still a very entertaining movie. And Prince Charles is treating palace visitors to his 70th birthday party of sorts. They will be able to get into special areas of the palace they haven't been able to get into before. And I don't know if this everybody over 70 gets a goodie bag.
You know what room I'd like to see there? I would like to see one of the storage closets or the basement, you know, the part where they're keeping all the stuff, like we all have stuff in our mm-hmm. houses
sure.
that we, you know,
mm-hmm.
like the unorganized pantry or something.
Yep.
I'd like to see the mess.
I wonder who is messy in that family, because you've got people following you around to clean up after you all the time. You know, you take off your socks at the end of a long day at the castle. That's a combination between a palace and a castle.
That's what they call it in Britain, a passel.
Yes. You take your socks off and just throw them, and there's a sock wrangler who follows you and picks them up.
I just got yelled at for that yesterday.
Because you don't have a sock wrangler?
I did not. Apparently, I did not pick up these socks. And it was actually, I am totally on her side in the way that I was like, these socks I wore on Tuesday, why are they still on the floor?
You yelled at yourself?
I yelled at myself.
Yeah, yesterday was Thursday. Mm-hmm. Where were the socks, though?
They were right on my side of the bed. So when I went to bed, I just kind of put them on this.
If you need a good cry this morning, and I mean, you know, something to make you feel good about life, a Pennsylvania dad has gone viral. His name's Gus Roman in Philadelphia. He was flipping through a photo book when his stepdaughter, a 13-year-old youngster named Alexa, gave him a Father's Day surprise he wasn't expecting. He got to the page at the end of the book, and it was a picture note, and it said, "Hey, Dad, 10 years seems long enough. You think you want to adopt me?"
Oh.
And he was just waiting for her to ask him the question. When she came of age, her biological dad died 3 or 4 years before her mom met the man who will now adopt her. And he just bursts out crying. Why wouldn't he?
Right.
So he was thrilled because he'd been waiting for it to ask for a long time. A junior golfer, the British Open rolls on, and a junior golfer did something no one is aware has ever happened before in golf. In all the years of recorded golf, no one has ever done this. Connor Kelly is his name. He was in a junior golf tournament. He's still a year away from graduating in high school. He made a hole-in-one and an albatross on consecutive holes. That's a hole-in-one, one. Mm-hmm. An albatross is a two on a par five, the rarest accomplishment in golf, yes. Much more rare than a hole-in-one.
Yeah, yeah.
So his scorecard, one, two.
Wow. Now he's how old? He's in high
17
school?
Years old.
I do that all the time on mini golf. That's
where,
not, that's
where
not
was this?
This was, this is going to be another good time. Thanks for asking, Dave. Let me get into this way.
Well, no, I just meant, you know, is he somewhere
this
where?
This is the the American Junior Golf Association, Junior Golf Hub Championship. He's actually from Thailand, but the event was held in Halifax, Massachusetts at the Halifax Country Club. A one followed by a two.
Have you had
par
an albatross?
And a par five. I have not. I've only had one hole in one. I played a lot of golf.
Can something be followed by a three?
Well, you don't want a three.
Oh.
You know, three is par and a par three. Or,
well, but you...
Well, it's supposed to be an eagle.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you can go hole in one, albatross, eagle, birdie, if the hole's lined up right. And for you non-golf fans, how much are you enjoying this segment of the show?
Oh, when you said albatross, I wasn't listening anymore. I was like, whatever.
And we're still looking for Jeremy Roenick, so let me give you one more. These are the seven values that are most recommended to raise children with these values, and these children will be exceptional.
Mm. And I thought this was going to be a grocery store segment. I said seven values. I thought it was going to be a bunch of two-for-one sales.
Oh, this is important. This is integrity. This is good. The seven values to raise your kids with. And you know what this reminds me of? That classic book, Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Teamwork. Teamwork is number one. Learn how to be able to work with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care. Love yourself. You can't love other people truly unless you love yourself. Self-care. Seeing possibilities where others see problems. In other words, try to be optimistic in life. When you see a problem or a challenge, teach your kids that it can be handled. There will be tougher days. And just to be as strong as you can and seek the help you need and move forward. Motivation. Motivate yourself. Motivate others. Time management. This is my specialty. You know, don't just dawdle away the day. Figure out what you're going to do with the day. It's like, you know, when you stand in line, God gives you stuff, and sometimes you miss a line. I missed the time management line. Sandberg, you were in that line twice.
I was, yeah.
Yes.
I got double the time management.
That's a big one. Accepting responsibility. Trump missed that one. Accepting responsibility when you screw up or when you leave your socks on the floor. And number seven, kindness. The world needs a lot more of that, right?
Yeah.
Just be kind. Be nice to other people. So there you go. Seven values to raise your kids.
Is this a test? Are we supposed to say it? Like,
no, this segment. It's a new segment we're doing called Where Was Jeremy Roenick When He Was right. Supposed to Call In?
Five out of six.
Was honesty in there?
Honesty was not in there.
No, but being overrated. Taking responsibility.
Yeah, that's
like being honest.
Yeah.
Or being a kind person.
Yeah.
I always wonder because Miles is not a team sport guy. Like
well, it's not team sport.
I understand, but as he that's the one thing that I fear about him not being into sports is that he won't get the lessons of teamwork.
But he does the plays and things.
Yeah,
right?
That takes
that's
teamwork.
All teamwork.
Well, that's true. That's teamwork.
That's true. Yeah,
yeah, without a doubt.
So never mind.
Plus, at home, he's part of the Kauffman team.
That's right.
Team Kauffman.
Team Kauffman.
Yeah. Okay. Some of my favorite talking on this show is talking you don't hear on the radio. Dave just brought up something that I'm not sure is real. It's the Texas Longhorn tick problem.
It's called the Lone Star tick.
Oh, the Lone Star tick.
And I heard about this. We were golfing at the Glen Club in Glenview the
beautiful
the other
Glen
day.
Club.
Yeah, the outstanding Glen Club.
Home of Emo Esposito, the greatest teacher of all time.
Yes, changed my game for the
handsome
better,
devil,
thankfully.
Too.
Yeah. But the starter is telling us, watch out, because there are you got to be careful with ticks. Yeah, I think that's true all golf courses. But there's this.
That's why I always insist on checking you for ticks as soon as we're through.
I appreciate that. It's called the Lone Star tick, and it's named that because it's got a patch on the back of the tick. It apparently looks like the state of Texas. I don't really want
see,
to get that
I was
close
told
to see.
It was a Lone Star tick because it was overly confident and wore a tiny cowboy hat.
That could be too.
Right.
But apparently, if you get bitten by this tick,
okay, this is where it gets weird. Now listen,
there is a possibility.
You get bitten by the tick.
There is a possibility you will develop an allergy to red meat. I'm not making this up.
So what happens? You get bit by the tick. The tick leaves whatever the tick leaves in you,
mm-hmm.
and then you have red meat, and you're allergic to red meat.
It is apparently causes the next time you sit down and eat a piece of red meat, you become allergic to red meat.
What if you eat a Snickers right after?
Apparently, you're fine. You're fine.
What is the antidote? Kale?
Chicken? Yeah, I don't know.
It apparently causes. There is a sugar found in beef called affagal.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's found in beef, lamb, venison, and pork. And
it reacts with this
the
tick poison.
The tick. I swear, I'm not making this up. And when I heard this, I don't even eat that much red meat. And that still kind of freaked me out.
That's really most of America's nightmare, that you'd be allergic to meat.
Apparently, it doesn't affect everybody this way, but it is a possibility.
So watch out for the Texas
Lone Star tick.
The Lone Star tick.
Okay. How does one watch out for a tick?
Yeah, well, really carefully. Like you crawl around on the ground and you look for ticks.
Well, the warning was don't go into the deep grass looking for a lost ball.
Yeah. Well, this goes back to earlier when we were talking about playing quickly. I don't go into any grass to look for my ball. I always say, leave it. I'll drop here, and I play on.
If I hit a ball that's lost, it was my fault.
Yeah.
My
also, problem. If you look down at your arm and there's a freckle that's moving, that may be a tick.
Okay.
Thank you, Doctor.
Steve.
Real People Restaurants. We were talking about this yesterday. Real People Restaurants as opposed to the fancy schmancy Chicago Magazine list. I like the Chicago Magazine list. I like the people at Chicago Magazine. This is a big seller every year for them. Top 50 restaurants in Chicago, which I believe between Justin and Sandberg, you've been to all of them.
There was a couple on there that I didn't know, but yeah, most of them, yeah.
We did cover them, yeah.
Have you been to all of them?
No. But
Mary
between
was
Justin
Mary more
and
than
I.
Me, yeah.
I bet you 45
Dave,
out of 50.
Dave had been to quite a few of them as well.
Together, if you all of us together, it's probably 45 out of 50.
Yeah. Me, too. Real People Food.
Why wouldn't you want to go to a place like Oreo?
It's not that I don't want to go there. It's just I did the afternoon show, I used to eat in the city a lot.
Yeah.
But in the morning, you can't find a good dinner at 10:30.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Can we do breakfast places for real restaurants?
Yeah, we're talking about doing a breakfast tour.
Yes,
take
the
show out and doing a breakfast tour on Friday mornings. So we can put that together. All right, here you go. Cheesy's Pub and Grub.
Sounds good.
Oh, is that the place in Evanston?
As far as you know, it is, yeah, because I don't have a city here.
That it was like all grilled cheese.
Oh, really?
That's a franchise. Cheesy's is a separate franchise where it's just grilled cheese sandwiches.
I think this
is a pub and grill. Sounds like there's beer involved.
Papa's Pizza in Woodridge. A lot of pizza joints. The Manor Restaurant in Dundee. DeMarco's in Itasca. Hacienda El Sombrero in Mount Prospect.
That sounds good.
The name makes you hungry for Mexican food. Bristol Tap in Bristol. Giuseppe's Pizza in Schererville, Indiana. I just like the idea that there's someone named Giuseppe in Schererville, Indiana. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Oh, my gosh. The best pizza place in Northwest Indiana is Gelsasimo's.
What'd you say?
Gelsasimo's.
How do you even spell
it? I don't even know. I just know it because whenever
it's
we go
Munster?
Visit my wife's family, it's in Chesterton and in Valparaiso.
Oh, Chester and Valpo.
Gelsasimo's. I love it.
Well, good tip. Enrico's Italian in Frankfurt, Ray's in Elgin, Hog Wild in Midlothian, and Marishka's in Crest Hill for poor boys. Great breakfast is Bryn Mawr Breakfast Club on Bryn Mawr in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Top Drive-In in Highland, Indiana, get the grilled cheese burger. Filippo's in, I can't tell what town that is. Fairmont Shores in Lake Villa, go there for the wings. Giacomo's in Des Plaines. And 1913 restaurant and wine bar in Roselle. You guys haven't been to any of these.
No.
You're always going to the fancy.
But I love the idea that we should embark on a project where we go to these restaurants and we come up with a Steve Cochran Show 50 best real restaurants in Chicago.
The list of the real people, right?
But the last time that Justin asked listeners, he asked listeners for a pizza joint when you were out like 6 months ago, and it took him 6 months to get to the one pizza joint.
It did.
Bill's Pizza on Monday.
So this is going to be a lot. I didn't put a date
on this. He's going to be going
to
breakfast for the next 4 years.
I didn't put a
team
effort.
So look for the top 50 real people restaurant list in 2027.
No, I didn't put a date on it. There's no expiration. Day
all right, last couple for now. And this is an absolute go-to. The Gale Street Inn.
Oh, Gale. Best.
Yeah. And hi, George.
I think that's Nick DiGilio's. He only eats at Gale Street Inn.
Central Giros in Chicago. And Danelli's for Italian food and pizza in Oswego. And the list goes on and on and on. Yeah, you guys are great, man. The audience, they go out, they eat, they tell us about it, and we got probably 500 more to get through.
Love it. Worldwide, to love was all we could do. We were young and we knew in our eyes. We were alive, deep inside we knew our love was true.
One of 487,000 hits written or produced or both by David Foster in the last 47 years, I think. I think he cranked it up in the early 70s. David Foster has not slept. He has just written and produced hit music, occasionally left to spend time with his family, have a meal or two, and then go back and produce more hits. He's on tour now. The Hitman joins us. Good morning, David Foster. Nice to have you on the show again.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, just look at this list of your hits. It's ridiculous. It's just unbelievable. You know what? You have officially written everything.
Well, it's been a good career so far, and it ain't over, I hope.
No, not by a long stretch, and we'll talk about the Hitman tour in a second. Where does the inspiration come from, and when does it hit you?
You know, I when I was early, is this Steve or Justin?
This is Steve. Justin's here as well. Hey. Sandberg's here. Hey, Dave's here. We're all here.
Mary, yeah, good. I don't know, man. I had talent at an early age, and I just, like, was determined and grew up in Canada, moved to L.A., and just started banging it out, you know, just doing whatever I could, working as a rehearsal pianist. And you know how it goes. That's why you're sitting in that chair. You just work your way up.
Where is the weirdest place you got a lyric or a melody in your head?
You know, I'm not one of those guys that gets inspired, but I was driving over the bridge in Vancouver and got an idea, and it turned out to be, what was the song? I think it was St. Elmo's Fire. But it doesn't happen often. You know, it's a job. You know, you just go to work, and sometimes something good comes out. Most of the time, it's crap. And it's true. It's true.
What is the one song that you wrote or produced that you're surprised is a hit because you're just not that fond of it?
I wouldn't add the last part, but there's been a few, like the song Man in Motion. In fact, that very song, uh-huh. Man in Motion, St. Elmo's Fire, which actually went to number one.
Yep.
And I just didn't think it would be a hit. It just didn't strike me that way. But there's other songs like I Have Nothing, the Whitney song for The Bodyguard, which mm-hmm. I was just kind of going, man, this feels pretty darn good, even in the demo stage. You know?
It's amazing to me to think that, and it's a gift, and thankfully you recognize it, that you can sit down and write and produce hit music, because I think a lot of people have to go the other way, and they do have to be inspired. But for the volume of work you've done, you I guess you had to treat it like a job.
Well, you know, and most of the songs I've co-written, mm-hmm. Produced, but co-written, so I've always had somebody beside me. So maybe they're the ones that always are getting the inspiration, or I'm getting the inspiration from them, maybe. Never thought about that.
And you've worked with so many...
I've just learned something.
Well, that's what I'm here for, to help you learn. Peter Cetera, Chicago, Kenny Loggins, James Ingram. I mean, just on it. Lionel Richie. Chicago's own Richard Marks. The list goes on and on. Anyway, I congratulate. I'm a fan, obviously. Congratulations on the tour.
Speaking of Chicago, it's so great that Earth, Wind & Fire and the group Chicago, two of the biggest people in my life, are from Chicago. So I can't wait to come there because I love the city, obviously, but it has special meaning for me because of those two acts.
Going to be at Ravinia Sunday, August 5th. There's not a lot of seats left for this, kids. Why would there be? So get tickets. You want a great romantic night, great night of memories, great night of new stuff. David Foster. And by the way, congratulations on the engagement.
Hey, thanks, man. Everything's going good. You know, no complaints.
So, David, I love a good engagement story. I want to know how long you planned it, and did it come out the way you wanted? I happen to know from...
You know I'm going to talk about that, Mary, even though you're romantic, and so am I, but you know I'm not going to talk about that.
All right. Well, I saw on David, I follow David on Instagram, and he posted a picture in his with him and his lovely fiance, and they looked like they're in a magical place on a fantastic
trip. Who did?
Somebody posted an Instagram photo of you and Catherine McPhee.
Oh, yeah.
You'll actually find out who that is and fire them immediately.
Well, I'm calling it an engagement photo. The caption was a music sign. Yup. Exclamation point. So.
Oh, that guy did that. You mean David Foster did that?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. But, you can see how few words I used.
Yes.
David, let me ask you about the music industry, because you, as Steve just mentioned, you've had so many different hits, and you continue to be a prolific songwriter, producer, and artist yourself. But the industry has changed over the years. All those great acts and artists that you've talked about just in the last 5 minutes. How has it changed for you as someone who has produced at such a high level? Do you notice a shift in the way that the industry works in 2018?
You know, it's a great question. I'm not that guy that complains about the fact that it's bad right now, because it's actually great. I love Drake. I love Rihanna. I love Pink. I love Justin Bieber. I thought his last album was amazing. I love Ed Sheeran. I love all that stuff. I'm not in the fray of that anymore, but it doesn't mean that I don't love it as a fan. And the streaming thing has finally worked out, and the music business could end up being a more robust industry than ever. It finally turned around. It took almost 20 years, because the downhill started in the year 2000, if you guys are,
sure,
if you're old enough to remember that.
Yeah, of course.
So it took a long time, but it's turned the corner, and everybody's happy.
I'm still stunned by this list, because I just keep having disc jockey flashbacks when I used to play music on the radio. Yeah. Really, should have been a time where I said, I want to find David Foster and punch him. but I'm not tired of any of these songs. August 5th at Ravinia, again, it's the Hitman's Tour. It's David Foster. I wanted to ask you, too, about your foundation, the David Foster Foundation, at davidfosterfoundation.com. Tell people what the foundation does.
Well, we help the families of children that need organ transplants, and thanks a lot for asking. We do concerts all over the Canada, because I'm Canadian. Our last concert, we had Jay Leno and Carly Rae Jepsen and Steven Tyler. We raised $10.6 million, which is a huge amount for any fundraiser.
That's crazy.
And we have a goal of $50 million endowment. We're going to get there, and then I can finally relax.
Yeah, I don't think you do that.
No.
You know, I watch these shows, these home improvement shows, where husbands and wives work together, and you're just thinking at any minute they're going to start yelling at each other and walk out. Can you and Catherine work together?
That's not reality, by the way, those shows.
Yeah, well,
it's
okay.
All worked out, you know.
Yeah, of course.
And I know a little bit about reality TV.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, with your daughters, so, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with my daughters, with my stepsons, with, yeah. I mean, the whole family has been there at one time or another. Yeah, we're gonna be good. We're gonna be really good, but not on television.
David, is there anybody you've worked with? Everyone, but is there anyone you missed the opportunity to work with, and they're no longer around, or that didn't want to work with you, that you really?
That's
to
a cool
get?
Idea. People that turned down David Foster.
Oh, many, I'm sure. By the way, Mary, thanks for being such a romantic. I love it.
Oh, sorry, no, I couldn't answer your question, that's okay.
I love that.
I had to ask.
I want to work with Sting, but the guy just won't call me. So
David
maybe if you guys
Foster
know him, you
Sting. I actually do know Sting. I don't know Sting well enough to call him on his cell phone, but I know him well enough to say, why aren't you working with David Foster?
No, we're friends, but he just doesn't have a need for me. I have done an album with Stevie Wonder that's in the can, finished.
Oh, that's
and
great.
may never come out. I don't know. But, yeah, there's things out there that I'd like to still accomplish.
Is it, yeah, sure, over your time as a producer and a songwriter, has it changed in the way that when you say you have an album with Stevie Wonder, obviously the technology has changed, but has the relationship and how you actually produce music or produce an album changed?
I think probably the way Ed Sheeran makes music or the way Drake makes music is probably quite different than the way I still make music. They have, you know, teams of people that are working in rooms, and they sort of pass the song from room to room. It doesn't make it better or worse, but it's just a different process rather than, you know, me just sort of hands-on making records by myself. But it's working. You know, it's a little strange to see seven or eight people on the copyright of a song, but it's a process that's working.
Well, so, and you don't have to be together to make a song together. But honestly, that goes back. I remember, I'm old enough to remember the 70s, and I remember when Elton John and Kiki Dee did a song called Don't Go Breaking My Heart, and it was a huge deal that they hadn't met each other. They were just in separate studios in another part of the world. Now it's just standard operating procedure.
Yeah, I don't think, well, even in my time, all the duets that I've done, the singers were never in the same room together, ever. Because it's just easier to concentrate on one singer at a time.
Sure.
And if you know what you want, the notion that the two singers sing together is a false notion anyway. They do it live, but certainly if you're recording, you don't want them singing together.
Right.
We need a documentary like the Defiant Ones that had Dr. Dre and
it's tremendous.
We need a David Foster Defiant Ones.
I'll get working on that. That was a great show.
Really was.
I mean, Jimmy Iovine and Dre, what a
Listen, I love great music, Docs. Anyway, the story of the Eagles was tremendous. I watched it 50 times.
Really? No, you didn't watch it 50 times.
Wait, were you with me? You may have been. August 5th at Ravinia. And don't forget DavidFosterFoundation.com. But you will have a wonderful night if you're there. August 5th at Ravinia. If you're not there, your night's not going to be as good. I'm not lying to you.
That's great. Will you guys be there? No.
We'll be there.
We will be there. I'm going. Yeah, because I'm the romantic. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be there because she's a romantic and I like comps. thank you, David. Love having you on.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. I'll see you on August 5th.
All right. All the best. That's David Foster, young, struggling singer, producer.
What a career.
We'll actually be going after my sister's dog's 8th birthday party.
Okay.
Steve, we timed out on David Foster. What was your question going to be?
I have been thinking of this lately. You know, it's all about data and analytics, mm-hmm. and you talked about songwriting methods. And I just wonder if people now are writing songs with big data to try to manufacture hits.
There's got to be guys. They're called A&R guys at record labels. There's got to be guys that doing A&R work at record labels that go 47% of 19-year-old females.
You got to hit this beat at this time.
Yeah. I mean, they use numbers for everything, and it must be happening in the music business, too.
Yeah, it's so fascinating to think about back in the 70s being a studio session musician, working with Earth, Wind, and Fire to the way that the bands do it. Now, he's right. Drake has 7 or 8 writers and song producers that are working on just a fraction of the song.
It's nuts, really. It's, but you know what? It's the system as it exists
now. I had a friend who was a writer who wrote on a Beyonce song. And the idea was it was just one little part of the song. It wasn't even the full song. It was just like the break or a part that they spent 2 days on. And then that was their contribution.
Well, I was supposed to come up with a line, put a ring on it. And I said, put some zing into it.
Right. And they spent 2.5 weeks working on that.
Crazy. Coming back with Bill and Wendy's show with Bill's, I guess it's Bill's guest.
Anna Belleville. We saw the tweet. Okay. Yeah.
Anna Belleville joins Bill this morning, and we'll get you a few more of these regular people restaurants that you guys have been texting in all morning. What is this? Is this Dave? On his guitar?
This is Dave Bennett.
Wow, he was good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Finger-picking right there.
Holtz and Park Ridge is a more regular people restaurants. Hi, Bill. We're going to come up with a list of the top regular people restaurants.
Regular people restaurants. Now, what makes a restaurant a regular person restaurant?
That it's not on the Chicago Magazine Top 50 list.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Holtz and Park Ridge, Mi Tierra, 26 and Kedzie, best margaritas in the world.
That is a good place.
Twin Anchor in Sedgwick.
Yes.
That's right. Sedgwick.
Great amazing, place. Yeah.
Club Lago on Orleans. Yep. Geo's in Bridgeport. Coletti's on Central and Elston since 1946. Red Dragon in Oak Park. That's Chinese. Pig Mines in McKesney Park. I don't know what that is.
Pig Mines.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Maybe it's pig mimes. Like people that mime, but they're in pig suits.
Oh, that'd be fun to watch.
That makes more sense.
I want to make sure I get this right. Crapples.
K-A-R-P-I-L-S. That must be good.
Jameson's in Crystal Lake. Any Jameson's. Charlie Beinlich's on Northbrook. Best burger ever.
Oh, that's it. They have a great burger, but they close for every so often to go fishing. So just
gone fishing.
You never know. And I don't think they take credit cards.
That seems like something they would do years and years ago, not today.
Right.
Is it
a handwritten sign that they put up?
With some of the letters backwards, like the little rascals used to do.
White Rhino in Dyer, Indiana. Roberto's on Elmhurst. Big Rock Cafe in Big Rock. Calamity Jane's in Sugar Grove. Bull Moose Bar and Grill in Sandwich. Just Kebabs in St. Charles, where you can't get a kebab.
They don't sell them there?
No, of course they do. It's Just Kebabs.
Oh.
This one. 7-Eleven Spicy Italian Sausage and Pepper Chips. And grilled steak chips, really great flavor on both. They're at the O'Hare Oasis.
That might be from yesterday.
The food or the bit?
I think that text was sent yesterday when you were doing the different flavors of chips.
That's right.
I think.
What are you doing today?
There's been a lot of bad stuff written about Pants Roland, the old White Sox manager, Steve. So he's going to come in and defend himself.
He's going to clean out. Oh, he's coming in.
He texted me. He's furious. He's listening to your show. He's furious at the way he was treated.
You know, he's like 120 years old.
123, Dave.
Yeah, really?
Yes. I've never seen a man so angry in my whole life.
I'm just glad he can still get angry. have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Steve, thanks so much.